This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, I'm Sharad Kutin. With me, Tan Chung Han and Brian Fernandez. And time to look at some of the top business stories of the day. 2018 is expected to be a difficult year for hypermarkets as consumers continue to grapple with the rising cost of living, according to Maiden Holdings Managing Director, Dr. Amir Ali Maiden. Shoppers are spending less, 7% less per trip the markets.
So per basket purchases, okay? So that's essentially how much one shopper will spend at these hypermarkets per trip. So that's expected to drop from 53 ringgit per basket on average down to 49. So according to Datu Wira, Dr. Amir, he says that the low to middle income group, you know, which is their customer base, they have already been affected in recent years. And he says now the outlook for the hypermarket segment, that is scary. His words, not mine.
Well, so already 2017 has been tough on Maiden. They apparently saw a contraction. Dato' Amir expects same-store sales this year to be worse than last year's. However, Dato' Amir hopes that the government will boost consumer spending given that GE14 is around the corner. And he hopes that Brim will also boost purchasing power of its customer base.
Now, we spoke about this recently. According to Retail Group of Malaysia, retail sales fell some 1.1% on year in the third quarter of this year.
Yeah, and so looking at the supermarket and hypermarket subsector specifically, okay, those guys, retail sales there fell over 5%, 5.2% on year. That was the worst performing retail subsector for that quarter, right? Now, for the first 9 months of this year, that subsector sales there fell by over 3%. So as a result, the likes of Maiden and also Aeon Big, etc., those guys are having to shelve expansion plans and also cut costs.
So on top of that, hypermarkets are having to fend off smaller convenience stores. So, because mini markets, those have been expanding very quickly in the last few years and will grow more in the coming years. Bison Consolidated, the operator of My News, for example, is looking to open 90 new outlets next year and is setting aside about 24 million for this expansion. Last year also, 7-Eleven Malaysia said it would spend between 85 million and 90 million ringgit. It's part of its expansion plan, which includes opening 200 new stores this year. So far this year, the group has opened 85 new stores, bringing the total store count to 2,207 stores. Now, on top of that, we've got Family Mart Malaysia planning to expand to 1,000 stores in 2025. So perhaps it's just shifting patterns, matter of convenience, and this shift in trends is what's killing hypermarkets like Maiden.
Yeah, that's why you can have, you know, multiple convenience stores practically on the same block, right? Now, on top of that, you've also got to fend off the threat from online grocery shopping. We look at Tesco, right? They introduced online shopping here in Malaysia, or at least online grocery shopping here in Malaysia back in 2015. Now, since then, those guys have recorded over 1 million online orders worth almost 180 million ringgit. So perhaps, again, is this shift in how consumers go about with their shopping habits? You know, instead of going to the hypermarket, buying everything for the week or for the month in one lump, you know, in one go, they can then make multiple trips to these convenience stores, which then may translate into lower average per basket. And in fact, you know, back in April, the CEO of Tesco also talks about the different dynamics that shapes hypermarket shopping behavior versus convenience stores shopping behavior, right? And basically he's saying these large hypermarkets, and this is Tesco saying it, yeah? These large hypermarkets with, you know, 60,000 square feet, you know, that model, that is under threat. And he's saying basically that's no longer feasible.
Yeah, so he added that basically grocery shops, stores that are larger than 60,000 square meters are challenging to sustain. And instead, the optimal solution would be to use the space better by putting a wider and improved range of products on a smaller floor space. However, despite the online retail trend, he noted that the online grocery shopping is growing at a much slower rate as Malaysians still prefer to visit traditional stores.
Okay, also in the news, the Inland Revenue Board has slapped Aeon Credit Service with a 97 million ringgit bill for additional income taxes with penalties. So the year in question are 2010 to 2016, and the penalty issued is for the alleged submission of incorrect returns.
So in response to this, Aeon Credit has appointed tax solicitors to challenge the claims against it. The tax collector also raised the issue with time-barred assessments for the years 2010 and 2011 without providing any reasons for doing so. So according to the managing director at Crowe Howard Tax and a trustee at the Malaysian Tax Research Foundation, the time bar can be lifted where it appears that the Income Tax Director General to the Income Tax Director General that fraud or willful default has been committed.
Look, man, 2017, the IRB, the folks over there have been working hard, I tell you. So Aeon Credit, not alone, certainly not the first this year. They join a host of big names who have been in the crosshairs of the IRB, right? So, for example, last month, SP Setia slapped with a back tax bill of 75 million ringgit. So like Aeon Credit, SP Setia also looking to contest it, or rather, Aeon Credit is doing the same what SP Setia is doing now. CocoLand, okay, hit with almost 6 million ringgit in additional taxes. Then you got EcoFirst as well, that's 35 million. You got MK Land, 81 million. Magnum, 476 million. TNB, 2 billion. Right, so yeah, IRB is working hard. I mean, well, you've got that Ops Mega thing going on recently, right, Brian? And we spoke about this here on the show, whereby it's part of the IRB's larger operations.
Yeah, so under Ops Mega, the tax office audited 15 banks with offshore transactions. So IRB Deputy CEO Tuan Haji Abdul Manap said operations like Ops Mega would aid IRB in achieving its 2018 tax target of 134 billion ringgit, which is 6% higher than its 2017 target. So what's the IRB looking for in these banks? The IRB would be auditing the banks who have offshore transactions, for example, those with transactions in Labuan, for example. They will also be looking at for potential transfer pricing issues due to different tax rates imposed on entities in Labuan and those in Peninsular Malaysia. So just to give you a perspective, Labuan Bank Labuan, you're taxed at 3% or a flat 20,000 per year, Malaysia 20,000 US dollars per year, compared to a Malaysian bank which is charged at 24%. So there's tax arbitrage there.
Yeah, you know, and heads up, you know, IRB has that target for the year, and also under Ops Mega, IRB is initiating some 1,400 lawsuits over total unpaid taxes of over 120 million ringgit. So don't be surprised if IRB, you know, kind of knocks on your door or sends you an email, makes those surprise visits to your business premises, home,
surprise
offices.
Visits.
Yeah.
Like the knock of the night, is it? Is one of those, the knock on the door of the night? It's going to be scary like that?
Hopefully. Maybe. Wait, actually, no, wait. They say hopefully not. So, I mean, hopefully not. No, yeah,
hopefully
thank you.
Not.
Yeah. Well, okay. For the IRB, hopefully. I have no idea what I'm saying now. Yeah.
Okay.
Let's go to break.
let's do that. Next up. This time next year, AirAsia expects to go fully digital. That's a year from now. That's expected to cut, and it's expecting that going fully digital will cut its operations costs by 10%. It could add some 73 million ringgit to the airline's revenue.
Yeah, so speaking about resolutions for 2018, so by the end of next year, AirAsia, once again, saying they want to be fully digitalized. Now, this is not something new. They've been saying this ever since last year, really. So, you know, we have that reiteration of that resolution. That's pretty good, reiteration of the resolution. Too many syllables. So anyways, they're looking essentially, they're looking at cloud-based services, you know. So, for example, you've got in a changing of spare parts, you know, that's going to help them identify their need faster. Everything from that to like facial recognition of passengers, permanent bag tags, Wi-Fi on the plane. So all these are just some of the features of AirAsia's efforts to be a fully digital airline.
Yeah, so leading this digital push is Irene Omar. She has been promoted to Deputy Group CEO for Digital Transformation and Corporate Services. She will also lead all the non-airline business. So it's Big Pay, Big Loyalty, Travel360.com, RedTix, AirAsia Go, and also Redbox, the low-cost courier business, Roki Shop, and also the Wi-Fi business.
Yeah. I wonder though, you know, if we went fully digital, we took that to the ultimate, you know, level, that would be like virtual traveling. That would destroy Asia. Because you could stay at home, you put on those immersive goggles, and there you are in Bora Bora, anywhere in the world. You don't actually have to move. Wouldn't that destroy companies like
Asia? Yeah, I guess, but hopefully the human body will still react to physical senses, you know. So.
Yeah, you just have all those
That's the whole premise of virtual reality. Global travel on the cheap.
I don't know if I can, be snowboarding down the slopes of Niseko just via a virtual reality headset. Okay. But anyways, just to kind of give you an idea of where Tony Fernandez is coming from. So, he talks about email being old-fashioned, and at yesterday's press conference, he's dropping names like Alibaba and Amazon in trying to emulate them, and he hopes to be on par with them in terms of capabilities. Well, again, once AirAsia becomes fully digital, hopefully by this time next year.
Now, who's taking over Irene Omar's role as CEO of AirAsia? It will be Riyad Azmat, who's 46 years old. He is the son of Tan Sri Azmat Kamaluddin, who's currently a director at AirAsia X. Riyad was involved in the automotive industry. He was previously a director with NASA Group. He also was president and CEO of the Caterham Automotive Group in Britain. So he helped to set up Tony Fernandez. He was part of the pioneer team to set up Tony Fernandez's Formula One team a couple of years ago. So Irene and Riyad are just one of two of five key senior management changes that were announced yesterday.
Yeah, now something else in common that Irene and Riyad will share moving forward is that they both have to manage relations with regulators, okay? Based on some reported comments, you got Tan Sri Tony saying that he hopes Riyad will hopefully be able to convince the industry regulators that one size does not fit all. Riyad himself said he hopes to improve on regular interaction. You got Irene, who's going to continue looking at government relations, because if you look at recent news, there is this rather public spat between AirAsia and the likes of Malaysia Airports, MAHB, also MAVCOM. So looks like Irene and Riyad will both have their work cut out for them on that front.
Okay, speaking of new blood being injected into AirAsia, not just at the level of management, but also on its board.
Yeah, so last week we had Niloufar appointed as non-executive independent director. She has a successful hijab business with racks in hundreds of millions of ringgit, 200 million expected this year, and her hijabs are available in 37 countries. Now, she takes over from Irene on the board. This will allow for more independent directors in accordance with the SC's new Malaysia Code of Corporate Governance.
Yeah, so Niloufar's appointment should also free up Irene to focus on AirAsia's digitalization plan. Now, also speaking about fresh faces, so you look back in August, the Board of Commissioners at AirAsia Indonesia, they also welcomed Ralin Shah. Now, she's an actress whom Tony described as smart, creative and humble. Also, a graduate of NUS, of Singapore.
We went to the same university.
Really?
Yeah.
And look how you turned out.
Yeah, absolutely.
But she's decades younger, Sharad.
And she's an actress.
And she's got a degree. Hey, she's got a degree in political science.
I got a degree in sociology. Mm. Same faculty.
Okay, right.
Rah, rah, rah.
Whatever helps you sleep at night, buddy.
Okay. Now, going back to AirAsia's core business, how is this quarter shaping up for them? Very quickly.
Well, Tan Sri Tony expects to have carried 73 million passengers by this year, strong ancillary income to offset higher fuel prices. And next year, they're looking to add 13 to 14% to their capacity with about 30 planes added to the fleet.
Yeah, looking to sell a stake in its leasing arm as well, Asia Aviation Capital. No details yet on the bidders and the value, but that deal expected to be wrapped up by March 2018.
Okay, we're coming up to the top of the hour. We'll have the bulletin, then we'll be back with the opening numbers in the stock market. Stay tuned. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.